Welcome to our Bible study of the Gospel according to Matthew. Today is Wednesday, October 9th, 2024. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening in on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible studies. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one raises their hands, we'll continue the study for the additional 15 minutes. If you have a question, please take a note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verses in question. Okay, let's begin with a prayer. Holy, gracious, heavenly, merciful Father, again we humbly come to thee because we recognize that but by thy grace we deserve to go to hell. We have sinned against thee repeatedly, and our sins are under the penalty of the law, which demands eternal damnation. Father, we thank thee that by thy grace we can know thee as Savior and Lord. We thank thee for the faith that thou hast given us to believe, and for the repentance that thou hast put into our heart, so that we have the ability to turn away from our sins. Father, bless us as we continue in our study of thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're in the Gospel of Matthew, and we've been looking at Satan for quite some time now. Probably another week or two, we'll be able to continue to look. Today we're going to start with the prince of this world, the god of this world. We read in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 22. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall unto the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hath his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. He who hateth his life, on this world shall keep it unto eternal, a life eternal. If any man see me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying by what death he should die. Okay, so the prince of this world is defeated at the cross. That is pretty clear, and we've seen this picture in the book of Revelation. We read in John chapter 16, verse 1, these things I have spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you in the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me whither goest thou. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truths. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me again. And again a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith? A little while we cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of what I said? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Truly, truly, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I'll show you plainly of the Father. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And when these signs shall follow them that believe, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now these verses, you know, and I know in the Catholic Bible, they've removed these verses. And a lot of people misunderstand these verses. I believe we may have spoken about this before, but in any event, this idea of casting out devils, of course, identifies with the bringing of the gospel. Anybody that is in the world who is unsaved has the spirit of man, and the spirit of man identifies with Satan. He is in the kingdom of Satan. And when they become born again, then God translates them into the kingdom of God. And the speaking of new tongues is the bringing of the gospel and the understanding of deep things, the mysteries of God's word. But ultimately, it's bringing the gospel message. And they shall take up serpents, and that identifies dealing with Satan. And if they drink any deadly thing, that identifies, of course, with a false gospel, drinking down a false gospel. It shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and of course, that's spiritual hands. In a prayer to God, maybe someone might be saved, and as you bring the gospel to them, and they shall recover. Okay, so judgment has come upon Satan. And we're going to look a little later on this judgment upon Satan. But but that's pretty much the picture of what's being spoken about here, is the victory against the prince and power of the air, against Satan, and also the victory of salvation for the forgiveness of sins. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read in verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in the trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourself." And of course, Christ is our faith, and it is faith to faith. "It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by which is called the circumcision of the flesh, made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." And that's, of course, when we become born again, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We read in Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, that day shall not come, except there come the apostasia first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, so that he is as God, or God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now the question comes is, what temple is he sitting in? and of course, it's the place where the gospel is being preached, but the temple ultimately is mankind. It's the beast. "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the power of his, with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now again, he refers to Satan as a man, the man of sin be revealed. And of course, that is Satan himself. And Satan is referred to as a man. I've been looking a little bit at this, and I'm going to do a little further studying on this. I know we spoke about the number of the beast is the number of man, which is mankind. Satan identifies with a man, for he dwells within man. And it is in this world where the spiritual battle takes place. It is in this world where Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Paradise, where Satan, of course, deceived Eve, and Eve enticed Adam, and mankind fell. And Satan dwells in the hearts of unsaved men. This is where the battle takes place. This is where Armageddon takes place. Okay. John chapter 17, verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. We read in Acts chapter 1, verse 15. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Hakhlatadama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Okay, so again, the son of perdition, the wicked working of Satan, and he entered into Judas. And again, this is the picture, this is what we're really trying to come to an understanding, and how Satan enters into an individual. Which again, the devil's already dwelling within unsaved man. But again, that's where the unholy spirit, the spirit of Antichrist, dwells. Just like the Holy Spirit dwells in the hearts of the believers. We're a temple. We are living stone built up for a temple, for a dwelling place of the Lord. Acts 17, verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him, when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogues with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Pythagoreans and of the Stoics, or Stoics, I believe it's pronounced, encountered him. And some said, what will the babbler say? Other some, he seemeth to be a settler forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and behold your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things herein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Okay, we read in John chapter 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world see me no more. But ye see me because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. Not my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto my Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not much talk with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise. Let us go hence. Okay, you know, when we go through the Bible, I searched out through the Bible and found listings of all the false gods of the Bible. And again, it's Satan is the god of this world, okay? Baal, or Baal particularly, we know directly is Satan himself. But, you know, in all these cases, it's pretty much Satan. And the demons, and there's different meanings to, or different focuses on different ones of these different gods. But anyway, I'm not going to list out. I'm not going to pronounce the names, or even try to pronounce the names of all these gods. And they're not mentioned too often. You know, pretty much a lot of them are just mentioned one time. And we get a little bit of information about them, but again, the Bible is not about Satan and the false gods. But God does, you know, explain to us makes us aware of the fact that people do worship other gods, and they're all of Satan. You know, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said he was the door. You know, we're lost in a lost world, and there's only one doorway out of it. And anyone who doesn't find it will continue to be lost forever. But again, pretty much every one of these, I believe, is really a picture of Satan. You know, we've got, you know, the dragon, we've got the golden calf, we got Bel or Ba, and we got Baal. Some of these different things are mentioned a couple of times, but spelt or mentioned in a different way, like you have Baal here, and another Baal, and another Baal. But again, they're all false gods that are listed in the Bible. We have Tartuk, Prince of Darkness. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto me, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries." Okay, you know, I want to make a point here. Anytime, we're all prophets. Anybody who is in the Word and bringing the Word to others, you're a prophet. You're prophesying. Whenever we say, "Thus saith the Lord," and then read scriptures, compare scriptures, share scriptures, you know, witness to people with scriptures, we're prophesying. So that's the picture of prophesying. There's nothing special, unique to any individual man or woman, but it is common unto all who have become born again. And tongues, you know, tongues was something that was used before, up until we got the Bible. And whenever anybody spake in tongues, God said that tongues were not to be spoken unless there be an interpreter, and by two or three witnesses. So, you know, someone might speak in tongues, but they will not be the interpreter of what's being said. It has to be someone else. But once the Bible was complete, and we had the Bible completely, then tongues ceased, and tongues are no more. For that would be adding on to the Bible. And even if it was repeating different verses, then it's an underscorement of certain things, and therefore also still adding on to the Bible. And at the end of the Bible, last chapter, last verse, a couple of verses, God says that anybody adds to the words of this prophecy or takes away from the words of this prophecy, the things written herein shall be applied upon them or added upon them. I'm paraphrasing. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, we're in verse 3 now. Let me back off to verse 2. "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to okidome, to build up, and exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather, that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether piped or harped." Again, piping and harping identifies with the bringing of God's word. "Except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known that is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, ye accept, ye utter in by the tongue words easy to be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There it may be so many kinds of voices in this world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seeking that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in the unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray it in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? Okay, now, the prince of this world being judged. We're going to pick up first in Ezekiel 28. We're going to get to a point where God refers to Satan as a man on a couple of occasions. And of course, we read about the beast. The number of the beast is the number of man or mankind identifying with Satan. We're going to read in Isaiah, is this the man that deceived the nations? Same thing, we're going to pick up in Ezekiel 28, verse 1. And Tyrus, the prince of Tyrus, that is Satan himself. So let's pick it up in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1. The word of Jehovah came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Now here again, God is referring to Satan as a man. And I think the reason for that, the more and more I start looking at these things, it's because he dwells and works in the hearts of men. The battle takes place. He's parts of mankind. He is the spirit of man. He is the Antichrist that dwelleth within all of unsaved people. So that's what I'm starting to see more clearly anyway, is the idea that God keeps calling him a man is because he identifies with man. Okay, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and has gotten gold and silver unto thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pits, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man, and no God. Now here again, he is referring to Satan as a man. And this really, it harmonizes with Isaiah 14, which we're going to look a little bit at also. And this is talking about, of course, the judgment, and the final judgment in this world is the final judgment of Leviathan. The judgment upon nations, Leviathan being the prince and power of the air, the prince of the nations. So let me back off here and go back to 8. Again, this is going to be the language you're going to see a little bit in Isaiah. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. That's very interesting. We're going to look at Proverbs in a minute here. And it talks about, thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. In other words, Satan is really killing himself. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of man that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And by the way, it's these verses here, in Isaiah particularly, Isaiah 14, and some other verses that really put strong into my heart that what we see going on in the world, Leviathan is really starting to rage in these days, and a lot of things are going to be happening over the course of the next months, I believe. But this is what makes me convinced the judgment of Isaiah 14 is going to take place starting sometime. Well, actually, it's been already taken place since probably 2017. But in any event, the timing isn't all that important. But clearly, at some point in time, man will say peace and safety at last. And that'll be the time at afterwards that Leviathan has been slain, that the nations of the world have been judged. And the only thing left then at that point is the final judgment day itself, where God will appear, coming on the clouds of glory. And we shall see him, we will see him as he is, and we will be like him. We will be transformed, changed in the twinkling of an eye. Okay, so thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcision by the hand of strangers. That's very interesting, the hand of strangers, because we were looking at strangers earlier, and I'm pretty sure we went through that. I'll double-check to make sure, but I'm pretty sure we did go through strangers, because God speaks of Jacob, and he speaks of Israel. Israel being the children of God, Jacob identifying with the people who will become born again. And then there's the strangers that, and of course some of those strangers become saved, but generally speaking, the strangers are those who cleave to Jacob. They cleave to the corporate body. You know, when we go back into Israel, for instance, many strangers joined Israel as they wandered through the wilderness, off to the promised land, because they were pleased to dwell with them. And the reason, of course, was because of the structure of their government, where God was their king. And here, of course, in the United States, God should be the king. He's the king of our courts. Clearly, he's the king of our hearts. So he's the king of our nation. Blesses the nation whose God is the Lord. So let's compare this a little bit to Proverbs, and then we're going to pick back up on the final verses here in Ezekiel 28. But Proverbs, I want to relate that to what we're reading here, where thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain. He caused the slaying of all these individuals, all these people. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, those who have cleaved to Jacob. And so, again, let's look at Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for the blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill a house with spoil. Cast in thy lot amongst us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. So we can see the relationship here of this idea that they're really laying wait for themselves. It makes me think of many things, but it's not really clear, but I have ideas of what these things might mean. Now, to finish off the verses after verse 10 there in, what was that, Ezekiel 28, moreover, the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. And the king of Tyrus, of course, is Satan. And say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, the workmanship of thy pebets, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. I remember in Job, we read about him, God says, where you been? He says, but going to and fro, walking up and down. Okay? And again, very interesting picture here. So let me back off here again, 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. That was, and again, this idea of up and down again brings us into this idea that we were looking at last study, which talks about the individuals being able to bring up the dead. And we read about, who was it, Samuel. Saul was trying to bring up Samuel, and I'm pretty convinced that that was not Samuel at all. That was the devil, and of course claiming or making believe that he is Samuel, and those things apparently are real. I think there's a lot of phony things going on in this world, a lot of chicanery, but some of this stuff I do believe now is real. And I do believe that these people that worship Satan, and they may offer, they offer up children. Some people have offered up their own firstborn. And we're talking about the elite of the world, the people who are part of the kingdom of Satan at its highest level. The picture being Leviathan, the body of the devil at its worst. The sea monster, the dragon, comes by many different names. I'm going to go back to 14 and pick up again. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. And again, that leads us right into Isaiah. That they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to the ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee, among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Okay, this idea of traffic, of course, is identifying with merchandise, trade. It is identified with that. It is the word traffic. It's just spelled kind of strange for us here. And that's interesting because the rulers of this world, Leviathan, the body of Leviathan itself. They are the prince in power. Satan operates with inside the hearts of those people, and they are trafficking, bringing all of the riches of the world to themselves. Okay, Isaiah 14 now, verse 1. A very interesting picture that relates to exactly what we've been looking at here. Let me just go back a minute here. I will bring thee forth from the midst of the sea, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to the ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. There is another verse I wanted to look at. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of the brightness. I will cast thee unto the ground. There it is. I will lay thee before kings. That's the picture. That they may behold thee. They will look at thee. They will narrowly look upon them. They will study him. In other words, be judged. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities. And Satan is being judged inside mankind, inside Leviathan, part of the beast, the beast. So thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquities of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all of them that behold thee. Okay, Isaiah 14:1. For Jehovah will have mercy on Jacob. Jacob identifies with the unsaved to be born again. And will yet choose Israel. Israel is my son. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Picture of the body of Christ. And set them in their own land and the strangers. Many that will be called and come in. Many are called, but few are chosen. And some of those strangers, people from, throughout the different nations of the world will respond and become born again, the Gentiles. As a matter of fact, the Gentiles ultimately, I think, is the picture of the strangers. But then we again become Israel. We become sons of God. Now are we the sons of God, 1 John, I believe. And the people shall take them and bring... Let me back off. Let me start from the beginning. For Jehovah will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Jehovah for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were. And they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord, or Jehovah, shall give thee rest from thy sorrow. And this is when Satan has been now judged, and man will eventually cry out peace and safety at last. So, and it shall come to pass in the day that Jehovah shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Who's the king of Babylon? It's Satan himself. And say, now hath the oppressor ceased. Let me repeat that. How has the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. Jehovah hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nation in anger, is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole world, or the whole earth, is at rest, and it is quiet. They break forth in singing. Yea, the fir trees, and that identifies with men, trees, rejoice at thee. And the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou hast laid down, no fella is come up against us. The word fella identifies with a tree cutter. Tree cutters are called fellas, because they fell trees. So let me reread that. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth in singing. There's been a major change in the world. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, slaughtered, taken out, no fella, no tree cutter has come up against thee, and trees identify, of course, with people. Hell from beneath is moved for thee, to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead. And that, of course, brings us to the resurrection at some point of all people. First, the dead in Christ will rise, and then then we which are alive will be caught up with being in the air, and the other people will be rising from the grave for the purpose of judgment. So that, I believe, is what this is leading into at that point in time. Let me pick back up at 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave. And, you know, and again, you know, we're going to see Leviathan, which is so powerful in the world today. They're the rulers of this world. They worship Satan. The prince and power of the air dwells within them. Because, again, they are the body of the beast. But thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of the vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? And we know that, again, is identifying with Satan. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And the stars identify with the believers. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And of course that's taking control of the corporate bodies, the great apostasia. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And we are the clouds of witnesses, the clouds with rain, bringing the rain. Then, of course, there is the clouds without water. But I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, above the believers. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And there's the picture of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look to study. Narrowly, to look narrowly at someone is to study it. In other words, like in a court of law. They that see thee shall study thee, narrowly look at thee, judge thee, upon thee, and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nation, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. You know, and we identify as branches, and this is an abominable branch. And as the remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword of God, the word of God, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain the people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. You know, and again, this idea here, thou shalt not be joined with them in burial. Okay, we see the picture of him being cast out of the grave like an abominable branch. In other words, he's not being buried. And you know, the idea of being buried is to put off the old man, to be buried with Christ in his baptism. So thou shalt not be buried with Christ in his baptism. You know, they, instead of being buried, he will be cast out as an abominable branch, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their father, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. And that's where we're heading to right now. We're very close to that time period. But it's going to be thwarted. It's not going to happen. For I will raise up against them, saith Jehovah of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and the remnant, the son and the nephew, saith Jehovah. I will also make it a possession for the bitten, and pools of water. and I will sweep it with the broom of destruction. Besom is a broom. The broom of destruction, saith Jehovah of hosts. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For Jehovah of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? In the year that King Ahaz died was this burden. Rejoice not thou, whole Palestinia, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. And the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety. And I will kill thy root with famine, and he shall slay thy remnant. Howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestinia, art dissolved, for there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed times. What shall one then answer the messenger of the nation, that Jehovah hath founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it? Okay. We're just about at the end here. I only got a couple of minutes. Next week we're going to focus in. I'm looking deeper into places in Scripture where Satan is referred to as a man. Is this the man? Satan is called a man. We've seen it a couple of times in these verses here, and we've seen it in other verses in our study, particularly in the book of Revelation. But we're going to take a look at that and see once more what Satan being a man is man. And we're also going to look, and again, God does refer to Satan as the prince and power of the air, the god of this world, okay? But he also refers to us as gods. I have said, ye are gods, and we're going to look deeper into that too. But first we're going to take a look more at this picture of Satan being a man. Is this the man? And again, that'll give us a much better appreciation also in Revelation. The number of the beast is the number of mankind. And of course, the beast is collectively all of mankind. And I think, again, that's why God refers to Satan as a man, because he dwells within the hearts of man. He requires man in order to, you know, destroy. He's destroying and imprisoning them. And of course, he's working towards trying to do the same with God's children. But some of us will be put in prison and so on, but he will not destroy us, in prison, spiritually speaking. Okay, with that, we're going to end the study, and we'll be back, Lord willing, next Wednesday. Good night.
Good night.